Thank you. You know, we can't really say enough about the shootings. I don't like to just skip over it, but we don't want to glorify it either. But please, remember the victims and remember the families that are now suffering from this. If I had to ask you today how you view prosperity and how you view success, I'd probably get a lot of different answers. When I was researching and studying for this sermon, Merriam-Webster defines success as the fact of achieving wealth, respect, or fame. But you know, that's changing. Younger people, the millennials, are changing how success is viewed. And I don't have time to get into that, but they're not as motivated by building large houses and obtaining wealth. They're a little more service-oriented. There was a survey that was done on behalf of a university, and it said that 90% believe that success is more about happiness than power, possessions, and wealth. I like the magazine Christianity Today, and there was an article that was written, and it says that Christians should never measure success by wealth. That a man who's worth $10 million, doesn't necessarily mean they're successful, it means that they have a lot of money. And that's very, very true. He considers Mother Teresa to be very successful, but he said if he found out suddenly that she was hoarding millions of dollars, he would think she was a fraud, not a success. And then he says the measurement of success is really what has God given you to use for Christ? Your talents, your gifts. How well do you use those for Christ? What are you becoming? Are you growing? Are you maturing in Christ? Are you a Christian? Being faithful to God with what we are given. That's kind of how he defines success. The video we saw this morning, that little boy was born, how despondent probably his parents were. And this family also has two other sons, and I encourage you to read the entire story. But the doctor said that this little boy probably wouldn't live long. If he does, he'll be in a vegetative state. But these parents took that little boy home, and they watched. Everywhere they went, his eyes would follow them. He was very alert, and he was very smart, and he had a very good mind. He ended up graduating from Boston University with a degree. And actually, he's about my age today, which is unusual for someone who's a quadriplegic with cerebral palsy to live into their late 30s. I'm seeing if you're listening. See, you know, I'm going to do little things like that to see if you're listening, to live into their late 50s. Just checking the crowd out. Our entire sermon series is taken from Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9, and I encourage you to jot down a couple notes. Today, the first tenet is to be strong and courageous, and the title of the message is The Strength of the Lord. I'm going to be reading from Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of Israelites. After having scouted 40 days, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of this land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We even seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them." Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, I ask you just to touch our hearts and minds, to let us understand your strength. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you asked any one person what it means to be strong and courageous, it depends on a lot of factors in our life. One of the factors is age. I was at a swim meet a few weeks ago, and I saw a little girl with a Batman cape around her neck. And I'm sure that her favorite superhero perhaps was Batman. Mine, when I was a little girl, was Spider-Man. And I'm happy to say Spider-Man is still doing well on planet Earth, even today. In June, we celebrated, or the world celebrated, the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square in China. And no one will ever forget the student who stood before the tanks and eventually jumped onto the front of the tanks and confronted this army of China himself. Perhaps that person to you is strong and courageous. For me, one of my heroes is a little Dutch woman from the Netherlands. And she's passed away since, but her family during World War II used to hide Jews in their home. And they saved many, many lives. I don't know if you know of her, but her name's Corrie Ten Boom. She authored a book called The Hiding Place. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read it and also to see the movie The Hiding Place. The book's title came from Psalms 119 that says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." And here's what Corrie Ten Boom, this little Dutch woman, says about strength. "Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus Christ just flows from you." And I can attest to that. We saw a verse this morning at the close of the video, and it's probably the most used verse for strength. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Philippians 4:13. But listen to the New Living Translation, the way this passage or this verse is interpreted. "I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength." You and I are simply not meant to do everything. We're only supposed to do what God tells us to do. Like the Israelites, they were only supposed to go in and possess this one plot of land, not everything around them. The Greek word for strength is dunamis. Dunamis. It's a miraculous power. It's not like the strength that you and I think of today. We think of strong men and strong women. We think of people in triathlons. We think of athletes. That's not the type of strength I'm talking about. Rick, in the video I showed you, he has no strength. He's a quadriplegic. He can't even talk. But because of his strength of his mind and his father's body, they became a team. They used the talents that they had, but they depended on the strength of the Lord. For the Christian, strength is the power to achieve by applying the Lord's abilities to our life. We ask the Lord to help us to love when we can't love. We ask the Lord to give us peace when there is no peace. Courage is what moves us forward in life. It takes the Lord's strength combined with courage, and then we have the strength of the Lord. In the passage of scripture that was read this morning, the Israelites had finally arrived at their place. And God told them, he says, now it's time to go take the land. So why not just go up and possess it? It would be kind of like paying tuition and driving your son or daughter to college, putting their stuff out on the sidewalk, giving them that push, and saying, okay, go and move into your dorm room. And they just got back in the car and said, I'm not going. You know, somewhere along the line, I'm sure that's happened. Matter of fact, that happened to me. My mom drove me up to Mansfield General. She wanted me to be a nurse. And all through life, I was to be a nurse. And we drove up to Med Central. It was Mansfield General then. And we parked the car. And she says, okay, let's go. I said, I'm not going. I'm not getting out. And she says, yeah, you want to be a nurse. Not me. Don't want to be a nurse. But that wasn't my land to possess. I want to take a look at three things that they did that perhaps we do, and it's going to cause us not to become the success that God wants us to become, not to prosper like God wants us to prosper in our lives. And maybe you'll find yourself in one of these three tenets. The first thing that the spies said when they came back is the people who live there are more powerful and the cities are fortified. What they started doing is they started comparing themselves to other people. And that's commonly what we do. We compare ourselves to someone who perhaps has more strength, who is stronger than we are, who is younger than we are. Our God is a God of dreams and visions, and we need to learn to depend on God's strength and God's ideas, but that is only done through prayer, only done through prayer. C.S. Lewis says, how many are familiar with C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? You are never too old to set another goal or dream, a new dream, never too old. Never. I remember when the Lord placed it on my heart to go into full-time ministry. I was a full-time accountant, or I was a controller working down in Loudonville, and I took care of these two healthcare facilities. And I felt God pushing me in this direction. Had a home I had to pay for. I had bills I had to pay, just like everybody else. And so I knelt down in my living room and I started praying and I asked God, I said, God, how can I do this? This is impossible, literally impossible. And I felt the Lord speak a few words to my spirit. And what I felt like the Lord was saying to me is to go to my boss and ask if I could just work 3 days a week and retain my same salary. And I thought, I just busted out laughing because that's a good way to get a pink slip. You know what I mean? Not to do something like that. And I laughed. But I kept praying and praying about it. So eventually I went to my boss. And she agreed to do that. She agreed to do that. And I worked like that probably for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. But it afforded me the time to go to seminary full time. I was still able to maintain my bills, pay my mortgage, and do everything I needed to do. And I worked nonstop for 3 years, but I depended on the strength of the Lord. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was the strength of the Lord, because during that 3 years, I never had any time. On Sundays, I was down at the Korean church doing a sermon. Saturdays, I was preparing sermons. 3 days a week, I was at my office in Loudonville. The other 2 days a week, I was at seminary. But you know what? That's why we don't want to look at the fortified cities in our life. See, God gives us things that are impossible, literally impossible, and he tells us to do it. Go up and take that land. So if somebody tells you you can't do that, pray about it. Don't disobey your parents, just pray about it. Another thing is they said that we saw the descendants of Anak there. And you're like, well, who is Anak? Well, Anak is the giants. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? That's where Goliath came from. He was a descendant of Anak. And they said, we cannot fight against those men. They are giants. I don't know if you've ever played basketball, but I like to play basketball, played against different teams, and I like to go to basketball games, and everybody always looks at the height of the other players, if they're taller, and they say, well, look how tall they are. But you know what? Sometimes that doesn't mean a thing if you don't have any skill. Literally, height means nothing. And when David, in the David and Goliath story, decided that God wanted him to go out and fight this giant, he went to Saul and he told them, he said, don't lose heart over this Philistine. He wouldn't even call him by his name. Don't lose heart. Your servant is going to go and fight this giant. And Saul looked at him, and he probably laughed at him. And he told him, he said, David, you're just a boy. This is a trained warrior. But David had the strength of the Lord. And you know what else he had? He had history on his side. And he said, no, this is the God that has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of the giant. And it's not so much that David was a good shot with the slingshot, because some people will read that in. They said, well, you know, he was really a good shot. That had nothing to do with it. It had to do with the strength of the Lord, because they had a whole army. No one. My thinking was, well, why couldn't you take 100 men out against one giant and fight him? The strength of the Lord. Don't look at the giants in your life. And everybody's giants are different. And then it says they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Gossip and exaggeration, listening to that or even being a part of it, will keep you from being a success and obtaining prosperity in your life through God. If you remember the passage, probably the last sentence I read, it said, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." How did they know that? Did they interview him? How did they know they looked like grasshoppers? That was their imagination. That was their exaggeration that stopped them from going in and taking what God had for them. And how often do we listen to exaggeration and gossip? Every day. Every single day. We listen to it on the news. You listen to it when you heard about the shootings. Not that they're not tragic, they are tragic. They're horrible. But we need to see through the eyes and lens of the Bible. We need to see through the eyes and lens of God. What is God telling you to do today? Don't allow a fortified city to stop you. Don't allow a giant to get in your way. And don't allow exaggeration or gossip or someone coming up you and simply telling you, you cannot do that. If you really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you to do that. Let me pray for you today. Most gracious and holy God, I ask that you be with us as a body. I pray for each person here, Lord God, that perhaps has left dreams and goals in their life, Lord God, just diminish. I ask that you would spark a flame, breathe life into it, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to become a success, to prosper, not how the world defines it, Lord God, but to use those talents, to use those gifts that you've given us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Karen, please join me. What a privilege on this first Sunday to share communion together. I'm always so grateful for Communion Sunday because now we'll have an opportunity to experience the strength of the Lord. No one else would die for you. No one else would atone for your sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ did, and I am grateful for that. Karen, would you hold this for me, please? Just kind of stick it up under. On the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. Communion is not supposed to be funny. And he said, "This is my body that's been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And we do remember. We do remember that great, great sacrifice Christ did for you and I. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood that's been poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That beautiful song that was sang for us, "My Redeemer Lives." I'm so grateful my Redeemer lives today. Most gracious and holy God, I ask you to bless this time of communion. Allow your Holy Spirit to fall upon these elements and truly, truly show us the mystery. Show us yourself through communion. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If I could have the ushers come forward, please. You do have gluten-free also. We're a community, and I'm grateful to be here and part of this community. Let us take up the body of Christ together. The blood of Christ poured out for you and me. Rejoice today that you're part of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Stand with me for our closing hymn.